150 years ago, Union forces overtook the Atlanta region. It was the end of a campaign that a writer named Mary Gay watched unfold from her home in Decatur, Georgia. Years later, she would recall the moment she first learned of the Southern forces' fate and record it in her book, Life in Dixie During the War.
What is it? This mighty thunder that never ceases. The earth is ablaze. What can it be? This illumination that reveals my nudest objects. With blanched face and tearful eye, the soldier said, Atlanta has surrendered to the enemy. The mighty reports are occasioned by the blowing up of the magazines and arsenals. Dumbfounded we stood, trying to realize the crushing fact. Woman's heart could bear no more in silence, and a wail over departed hopes mingled with the angry sounds without.
In the years following the American Civil War, Mary Gay joined the long line of emerging authors who wrote memories of the conflict. However, unlike Union and Confederate veterans who chronicled their experiences on the battlefield, Gay told a different kind of story, one about life on the home front. Her wartime memories center around her house in Decatur, which she refused to leave even when it became occupied by Union soldiers. That house is still standing today near downtown Decatur. I paid a visit with a local expert on Gay and her writings, Ann Earle. So as you walk through the central front doorway with the transom windows overhead.
That's the original glass. It's only glass that's left in the house. But
oh,
you can
really?
Tell by looking at it that it's wavy.
Yeah, it's settled over time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been, you know, nearly 200 years.
And I assume since this is the first space into which you walk, this is the communal and social space.
The parlor, as we call it.
Uh-huh. A simple fireplace to the
pine,
left.
This is pine, and this is original to the house. Now, if you see this lovely print over the fireplace, and you'd think, why in the world would somebody want to have a print of a funeral, which is clearly what's happening
it is.
Here. It was a symbol. After the war, if you came into someone's house and saw that, you'd know they were sympathetic to the Southern cause, because that is the death of Latane, and it's all the people mourning the death of this Southern soldier.
And how do we know she
had
one?
We have a picture of it. Do
really?
You have the book? Yeah, see, there it is.
Oh, there is the fireplace.
You can tell it's the same fireplace, same carving, and there's the picture.
Wow, and so it was sort of code for
I'm sympathetic to the cause.
The title of her book is Life in Dixie During the War. What do we know? What was day-to-day life like for Mary Gay and her family?
Well, it got to be harder and harder as the war went on. At the beginning of the war, I think everybody thought it wasn't going to last very long. And then after it dragged on for 4 years, it got to be worse and worse and worse on the home front. And people had less and less to eat, especially after the Union Army came and stayed and ate all the food in town. One of the big issues of that time that's hard for us modern folks to realize when you have something in your pocket where you can find out anything that's happening anywhere just like that is no news. The big Southern newspapers were out of print. There wasn't enough paper for them. So if you were in Decatur and it was the summer of 1864, the only way they had of getting news was the train. And people would come on the train and say, hey, the Yankees are coming, quick, get out of town. So it's hard for us to imagine, what if your husband, your father, your brother was off and you knew they were in terrible danger and you just didn't know how you'd ever find out what had happened to them?
On the other side of the parlor, another, one room or more?
These were two bedrooms. So when the Yankees came, they took the parlor and the dining room and they let she and her mother keep these two rooms.
That's all they had.
That's all they had. Again, this back in those days, people had small houses. So these are not big rooms.
What does she talk about the days in which they had a dual household?
It was very hard for her, as you can imagine. I mean, any guest that you have who won't leave,
right.
You can get tired of that, much less if it's a whole army and they are camped out all over her yard. She talks about they've dismantled her barn to make fires and put their tents up. They've eaten all of her chickens. They've eaten all the vegetables in her garden. This is late summer. They've eaten everything. And they do feed her. While they're there, they give her, she and her mother, food. So she is grateful for that.
But they are living,
sleeping. They are living, they're having meetings, they're in the house all the time.
No news from the front. No tidings from the loved ones in gray. No friendly spirit whispering words of cheer or consolation. Shut up within a narrow space and guarded by federal bayonets. Not a ray of friendly light illuminated my environment.
Those words from Mary Gay's book, Life in Dixie During the War. In the second half of today's program, we'll continue my conversation about Gay with Ann Earle, exploring how the author navigated the challenges of life in an occupied town. That's ahead as City Cafe continues.